Where else would you rather be than right here, right now?
Hey, UK Bills Mafia. This is Christian Wade of your Buffalo Bills. This is the Red, White, and Buffalo Blues, a UK Bills podcast with your hosts, Matt and Alex. Let's go, Buffalo! Woo!
Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Red, White, and Buffalo Blues, UK Bills podcast, Bills News with a UK twist. It's a little bit later than usual, but a one-legged match here with Alex. And Alex, I guess you had a better weekend than I did.
Yeah, both of my legs work. But the good news is that you don't need your legs to do a podcast.
No, not unless I'm pumped full of morphine. But yes, no, it's
Yeah, before we get into the game and before your drugs really kick in, what did you do?
Well, it was caught across, dropped it because my gloves are so old and I needed new gloves. Went to pick it up again, but it's just a while I went over. My foot got caught in the ground, twisted 180 degrees round, and heard a loud snap.
So it wasn't even like you were like challenging someone and their tackle.
There was no one around me for about five meters around me.
Oh no!
I was in there all on my own.
Oh, I'm sorry I asked then, because that's kind of embarrassing.
What's the embarrassing thing was that they scored from it.
No.
Yeah.
Oh no.
The referee let the goal stand, because technically it wasn't a foul or anything like that.
Right. Yeah. So, I mean, I don't know. I don't think in any sport, if a player gets hurt, the play stops. I've seen it happen in hockey, but like in American football, you know, if a player goes down mid play, the play goes on. Yeah. Right. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bills gave me a good weekend to end it on with the win,
sure,
the
right?
10-3 win. I don't know what happened in the Cleveland game. I'm in the Cleveland game last night.
Yeah, so I just checked when I woke up this morning, and it was a shootout, which is crazy. You know, kind of makes Baltimore and Cleveland a little bit scarier. It was like 47-45 or something like that. Baltimore won. Which is good, because, you know, I'm not worried about the Bills clinching a playoff spot. I just want Cleveland to lose, because, you know, for whatever reason, I hate Cleveland. I just don't want them to be good, like, at the same time or before us, you know, like, we got the better record.
Exactly.
But if they're good too, like, ugh, for some reason, I don't know why. You know, we don't have a rivalry with them or anything, but...
No.
Yeah, so you didn't watch the game live?
No.
Right? Was it a struggle to avoid any news or anything?
No, I silenced the group chats.
Yeah.
I pretty much signed out at Twitter.
Right.
And left my phone upstairs until the game finished itself. So yeah, I was quite lucky I didn't hear anything.
Good. Good so, for you. Because I mean, I could honestly never pull that off. Like, I've tried to avoid spoilers for certain things, like, you know, when I follow the baseball playoffs and stuff, but I just can't keep myself off of Twitter.
Yeah. Now, there were points where I was waking up during the middle of the night, because I was in pain. I was just thinking, I want to just check it. I just want to check it.
Yeah.
But I kept myself busy.
Yeah, just focus on the pain and not the Bills game.
Yes.
There you go.
Yeah. But, I mean, to be honest, I think after watching it, the first quarter and a half, I thought, okay, this is going to be a very close defensive-based game, in my opinion. That's how it was actually looking in there, because no one wanted to actually to go on a long drive. It was mainly through, I think, what, both teams punted like 10 times combined in that first half.
Yeah. No, that's definitely something that we're not used to. Before we break down the game, I just have one housekeeping note real quick.
Okay, thank you.
The Bills are good. That is all.
Yep.
I mean, I this is becoming a reoccurring theme, and I don't care that I'm repeating myself, because I know that when you say the same thing over and over again, that doesn't make for good radio. But this is awesome.
We would
get a win like this once every 5 years, and now we're getting wins like this a few times a season. You know, we're beating teams that we're supposed to, and now we're beating teams that have a better record than us. We're beating teams that are ranked higher than us in defensive and offensive statistics. This is fantastic. I can honestly end the show right now just on that. I mean, I honestly had a hard time getting ready for this one, mostly because, you know, when I was, you know, getting ready yesterday for this, my brain wasn't fully on yet because of the time issue with the sleep. Secondly, just because I wanted to bask in the glory of this feeling. I didn't want to analyze the game, watch it again. I'd be able to see all the good stuff again, but when I analyze a game, you know, I nitpick, I see things that, you know, I can complain about, and I don't want to take anything negative away from this game.
No, exactly.
I wanted to experience this win as a fan more than like a sports journalist in a way. So, yeah. I mean, the rest of the show is going to be like, okay, it's not, because there's still a lot of stats in my review here. But like, I wanted to, I was going to be like, all right, let's just do a laid back, like emotional, you know, review where it's just, we talk about how awesome this is. But, you know, I did go back and you know, rewrite a lot of the review and throw in a lot of stats. So you're still going to get what you're used to. But yeah.
Awesome. I'm looking forward to it. I've got,
just to say how amazing this is right now.
And you'll be lucky to know that I've got no stats.
Okay. So you'll keep us grounded.
Yes. Yes. So what should we talk about?
I would dare to say that this is probably the most complete team win that we've had all season. You know, you think of other signature wins that we've had this season, you know, Seattle, but the defense gave up a ton. You know, they were able to get pressure on Russell and really attack him, but they still gave up a ton. Any other game that's a signature win, most other games have been close, you know?
Yeah.
With garbage time touchdowns, at least the end of the games have showed a score that's close, but, you know. The first Miami game, you know, Fitz kind of got going a little bit here and there. Vegas probably was a complete team win. They got a garbage time touchdown. But honestly, like, those are teams that you're supposed to beat. This is a game where, even though Pittsburgh's coming off that loss, they're 11-1. They can score points. They don't allow anything. We talked about how good their defense is. And bar the first half,
you've got to see who they,
you know,
you've got to see who they've lost to, who they've beaten. They've beaten teams that anyone that could be, I mean, beat Daniel Jones, beat an injured Broncos team.
Yeah. But I mean, look at the game last night. Monday Night Football was Baltimore and Cleveland, and they both went nuts. And Pittsburgh beat both of those teams handily. Pittsburgh beat Baltimore twice, and then they torched the Browns. And both teams last night looked like really good teams. So
then Baltimore did have that second game where they had pretty much most of their starting offense, starting stars actually on the COVID list.
Yeah, you know, and I mean, I know that the final score of that game looked closer because whoever their backup quarterback was hit Hollywood Brown for a deep touchdown. But I'm not willing to discredit Pittsburgh's 11-1 record. You know, it's funny how the tone changes, because in our preview show, I did talk about how we're probably the best offense that they've faced all year in terms of statistics, because that's what only Tennessee is ranked a little bit higher than us on their offensive production.
Yeah.
But I think they still have, I mean, I was able to talk about Pittsburgh's record and how they quote unquote haven't played anyone, just because I wanted to create a sense of optimism that we could beat them. But I think I'm over trying to talk myself into how Bills can beat anyone. And just like I said a few shows ago, I can believe that Josh Allen could beat anyone.
Yeah.
You know, I trust the process enough to know that our coaching staff is going to be ready to beat anyone. And we're not talking about a team that can go 16-0. We're not talking about we're better than the Chiefs. We're going to lose a few games here and there, but honestly, that's all it's going to be. I'll look at a schedule. If we keep this core of Allen, Diggs, Feliciano, Dawkins, Edmonds, Milano, Trey White, if we keep guys like that at Oliver, if we keep a core of like 10, 11, 12 players on this team, everybody else can be a revolving door. And I'm going to pick the Bills to win more than 10 games almost every season. I don't care who else is on the schedule.
Yeah.
We have that good of a team.
I think this one's our hardest. This one was our hardest schedule in some time. But I mean, looking at, let me try and bring it up. I mean, obviously now we're going to be finishing first in divisions. It's going to be a little bit harder on there. But next season, obviously, Patriots, Miami, Jets, we're going to be facing Houston, Indianapolis, Atlanta, Carolina, the winners of the AFC North, so Pittsburgh again, the winners of the AFC West, which is going to be Kansas City, Jacksonville, Tampa Bay, Tennessee, and New Orleans.
God, I hope Tom Brady retires after this season. I mean, we get rid of him and now we got to play him. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
I mean, but they don't look like world beaters. You know, they're not perfect. We're better than Tampa Bay. So, but let's talk about the Steelers game. All right.
Yeah.
Let's just stay focused and talk about the Steelers game. Like I was getting into before I went off on a tangent, I really think that this is the most complete win that we've had all season. Looking at the defense, we forced 8 punts. We had 2 interceptions. We held Pittsburgh to 1 of 10 on third down. They had less than 200 passing yards. They had less than 50 rushing yards. Big Ben had his worst completion percentage of the season. Lowest passer rating of the season. Lowest yards gained per pass attempt on the season. We took a good offense and we neutered them. Our passing offense eclipsed Pittsburgh's average per game against. Our rushing offense eclipsed Pittsburgh's average per game. We were 50% on third downs. Pittsburgh usually only allows 37. Our offensive line, which we were worried about, they were able to take care, and with the play calling of Dable, they were able to take care of Allen. He only got sacked once. And speaking of Dable, the third facet, coaching, halftime adjustments, our best third quarter of the season. We adjusted to Pittsburgh's extreme pressure. We were able to figure out how to get guys open in the flat, short passes, yards after catch. Just like we beat Pittsburgh at their own game in that sense. Allen knew exactly where to go. He was 10 of 10 in the third quarter. I mean, I know I talked about how on Twitter I said that his at the halftime I said his stats at the end of the game are going to be ugly. But that third quarter and bits and pieces of the fourth quarter really, I mean, I think he was only 56, 57% completion, but he was able to salvage a really bad first half. And credit to Pittsburgh's defense there. Like we talked about, there are no slouch on defense. We needed time to figure out exactly, you know, what they're doing. I mean, obviously there's tape for the whole season. Yeah. But until you actually feel it, it's different than what you just see on tape. So, you know, shout out to the coach.
Out there for Darrell Williams. I mean, the Steelers broke the record of 70 straight games with a sack, but TJ Watt wasn't the one that got the sack in that game, and he was pretty much neutralized by Darrell Williams. People at the beginning of the season thinking, oh, God, we got him from Carolina, he's not going to amount to anything. And like all the way through the season, and even now, is showing that he is probably the most underrated and the most important signing we've actually made, and hopefully, and he's young, so youngish, so hopefully we've got a couple of good bookend tackles for the next next couple of years on there.
Yeah, he showed up in our reviews here and there, just in, I mean, so much better than Cody Ford last season, you know, at that spot. You know, that was a worry, and we wanted to get Cody Ford back inside, and we did, and Cody Ford looked good this year when he's played. You know, he's been out for a bit. He's on IR now. But, yeah, Darrell Williams, I mean, when you talk about free agent signings, we talk about what we did on the D-line. We talk about the Diggs trade. So, but probably the Diggs trade was the best move of the offseason, but the second best move clearly was getting Darrell Williams in here.
I mean, exactly.
You watch that game, and he really walked the line of getting called for a false start on nearly every play. He was in his technique right off the snap. He really got the first step on Watt all game long. I mean, he did exactly what he needed to do. And it was a thing where the commentators even talked about how, you know, they didn't use Knox to chip block at all. They just said, hey, we trust you. And he did it. You know, he had trouble with Bosa in the Chargers game. But for whatever it was, he was able to fully handle TJ Watt. So fantastic. I mean, star praise to him for sure. Continuing talking about standout players, I mean, my God, how could we not talk about Stephon Diggs, right?
Nope.
I mean, the dude knows how to
be moved.
I mean, the dude knows how to read a defense. I mean, his ability to see what's happening at that speed and know where to go, and just his connection with Allen. You know, once he got going in the third quarter, he was unstoppable. I mean, we know the stat line: 10 catches on 14 targets, 130 yards, and a touchdown. You know, dude's on pace to break so many Bills wide receiver records this season.
He's already broken Eric Mould's record, or he will be breaking Eric Mould's.
Yep. So one
catch next week
to break the Mould's record from 02, needs 201 yards to pass Mould's yards record from 98. And, you know, one little stat here that, you know, you got to dig for, but of wide receivers with at least 100 targets in a season, Diggs is first in Bills history in catches per game and yards per game. So, I mean, just, I was looking at it. It's a shame that we couldn't have gotten a guy like this, you know, a little earlier. He does have 4 or 5 seasons under his belt. It would have been nice to have had a guy with his talent for that long. You know, we're looking at, you know, even the best guys like Fitz and like Julio Jones, you know, those guys are anomalies. We got to enjoy Diggs while it lasts.
It was a fifth round pick
for the Vikings. You know, that's so Buffalo, you know. Here's a guy who wasn't supposed to be, and now he is. And that's just fantastic.
Exactly. I think that you've seen the addition of Diggs, you've seen how they've made the additions in the last year or two to that offense, and now you can actually see what they actually want from Allen. And obviously Allen is now showing that poise and precision in there. Maybe the odd mistake here and there. I mean, that interception I can't put on him, because as he was throwing, his arm got his arm got hit. So obviously the trajectory actually did come loose a little bit. But you've seen the way that he's actually just come on leaps and bounds. And as we noticed, I said on the previous show, in the first 39 games, comparing him to Jim Kelly, he's got stats that match and even better than Jim Kelly.
Yeah. And I mean, I did say that it's a different league back then. I mean, looking back at Kelly's stats, it's like, yikes, this is like Eli Manning-esque in a way.
Yeah.
But for the time, he was a top 3-4 quarterback in the league. Now he would be right in the middle. Yeah, to talk about Allen and Kelly, you know, it's too early to make any statement or claims.
Oh, yeah.
But I did get a little crazy with it. So we saw that Jill Kelly quoted Jim when he said that Allen's going to break all of his records. So I kind of chased that rabbit a little bit. At his current pace, and we're factoring in Josh's first two blah seasons, it's going to take based on everything that Josh has done, like take the cumulative stats, take the average per game stats, per season stats. It'll take Josh 124 games to break Kelly's yardage record of 35,467.
How many games?
124.
Okay.
So we're looking at 6 to 7 seasons of just average Josh Allen stats.
Okay.
If we look at it based on this year, where Allen's averaging 280 yards per game, with that, he only needs 95 games, averaging 280 per game, to break that yardage record.
Mm.
So,
yeah,
factor in, you know, maybe an injury for a game, factor in getting benched in the final game of the season here and there. So let's say he misses one game a year. Yeah, he'll break the record in the third game of his seventh season. It's crazy.
Okay, that's good. We'll get a watch party to go over there and watch it.
Yeah. I mean, these numbers, it's not out of the realm of possibility and just shows how it's more of a passing league nowadays. Look at Jim's touchdown numbers. He threw 237 touchdowns in 160 games. That's 1.48 per game. With Josh's first two meh seasons, he's averaging 1.41 per game. So he's going to need to kick it up a notch. But Jim averaged 21 touchdowns per season. Allen averages 19. So, you know, we know that Allen is getting better, and he's going to average a lot more than 19 touchdowns a season going forward. Even if this year is his high point, Josh will be able to do slightly worse than he does this season, and he'll still break all of Kelly's records in 6 to 7 seasons. I mean, it took Kelly 11 seasons to hit his numbers. So I think the most important thing to take away from this is, you know, let's not get ahead of ourselves, but let's enjoy the fact that we have a good QB and it's fun to be able to talk about stuff like this.
Exactly. And he's got a legitimate shot of actually at 4,000 passing yards and 500 rushing season this season. He's on, 3,643 passing yards and 349 rushing yards. So there is that possibility. Yeah.
I did call for Josh to run more in this Steelers game. I thought that with the pressure that they're bringing, there's got to be a lane somewhere. And if the offensive line could make an adjustment to maybe allow the pressure, but push it to one side, you know, kind of like running a running back draw, which is my favorite play in Madden. saying it doesn't matter. That's so silly. I really wanted to just see Josh pull it down and just run with it. If they were going to play man, then there's going to be space for him to run. And we were like, nah, let's just adjust and treat Josh like a traditional quarterback. And we did. And he took him apart in the third quarter. And it was beautiful. It was magnificent. We don't need to rely on Josh to play backyard football like he did his first two seasons.
That's what I really liked about it. Cause, I mean, yes, he had the tendency back in the first 2 years, he had the tendency to run in there, but at least now we can, I mean, that pass protection still gave him a lot of time. There were times where he was just standing still waiting to pass the ball. But this is what I like. He's not now taking that option straight away and actually running. He's going through all his progressions. If his progressions are there, he's going to throw to one of them and he'll make that decision late to run, which is good, which is what you'd like to see now in your quarterback. I think he's had 2 years of of scrambling and getting used to the pace of the NFL and actually obviously getting the support cast around him. But now he's got that support cast. He's got that he's in his third year, so he's got that experience now. And he's now showing that he can use that frame, stand tall in the pocket, and make those throws, even with just a pretty much a flick of the wrist.
Yeah, it was good to see them on the broadcast kind of break down his throwing motion and where he's come from and, you know, the mechanics of it, and talk to our QB coach and, you know, the analytics that we put into, you know, fixing Josh Allen essentially and making him an all-star quarterback. So, I mean, yeah. You could put all the credit on the coaching staff, but for a player to change what he's done his whole career, so much credit needs to be given to Josh to be able to make those adjustments. It's so hard. I mean, think about your worst tendencies as a human being, you know. Think about trying to change that when someone else is telling you what to do. Like, there's stubbornness involved. There's muscle memory involved. You know, I'm not a morning person, and I'm never going to become a morning person. Who tries to help me with that or anything?
But exactly, you know,
Josh had his mechanics and his muscle memory, and we were able to coach him to fix this little nuanced thing and this little thing here and there. And that's so hard to do. And just credit to everyone involved, and especially Josh, for being able to take that in.
Exactly. I mean, I've got to give. Before we go on, I don't know if you've got anything else to add.
Yes,
was it going to be the same one we're just about to talk about? And that's Aaron the Johnson. Defense and Johnson, and even Levi Wallace.
They both
battled back. They've both been picked on a lot, not just by fans but players as well. But they both come back and actually played that game. And the interception on Roethlisberger, the first one by Johnson. That was a play you're expecting Trey White to make. He just he patiently waited, watched his eyes, and then jumped just at the right time. And then at the end of that, it was to the races. There's no one actually stopping him. So it was nice to see him having a nice bounce back game from that. And obviously Levi, after being completely and utterly picked on last week,
the first touchdown this week too. I believe I got turned inside out on that one. But the most important thing to take away here is, you know, the reoccurring theme is no team is perfect. Every team has a hole. Every team has players that are going to be victimized. I mean, when you have Trey White on your team, CB2 is going to get picked on. One, because Trey White is so good, and B, they're going to get targeted more. But, and this is the most important part, when your average to below average players are able to step up and make a play per game to change the tide, you know you have a good team.
Yeah.
We talked about Taron in the slot being victimized in man coverage, but he made a play this week that was huge. Norman did it in the Oakland game. He's been victimized, but he made a play to help us get a W. For all of our defensive and DB faults, they make big plays at big times. Plays from your depth guys, even if they give up a play, but as long as they balance it out with making a good play in big spots, you're going to have a winning football team. And that's what we have.
I think that's good that Wickup's coming into this. This defense has now finally found its form at the right at the right time. And that's got to be good. I mean, again, John Brown's eligible to come back from IR. So that offense is only just going to get stronger and stronger.
Yeah.
Hopefully Morse will actually be fixed. I know he had elbow issues with it, but
it's tough to play that position when you can't extend your arms.
Yeah.
So, but you know,
he
got a downgrade. You know, if we were to give out grades, Morse would have a C or lower, but I mean, that's just due to the injury. I mean, our interior O-line was victimized in this game. But like I said, we found a way around it. And that's good. That's what good teams do.
Yeah. I mean, is there anything before we sign off? In a bit. Is there anything else that you want to add at all or anything? Well,
let's not be homers. Let's talk about let's balance this out a bit.
Okay.
You could argue, did the Bills D ball out or did the Steelers offense just not show up? You know? From a Bills fan's perspective, you could say it's a mix of both. With the Bills D,
you have arguments for both.
A bit more credit.
Yeah, you have arguments for both. I mean, if it wasn't for Deontay Johnson dropping, what, two or three
to start
in that first half, then, yeah, it's probably something that's going to be – it's probably going to change the outcome of the game a little bit more. So you could possibly say that that is the misfire from the offense, from the Pittsburgh offense. But you can't deny that this defense actually, as we mentioned, was sort of smothered this attack and actually come up at the right time. Because if you can limit a Pittsburgh offense who'd actually been flying, regardless of their opponents, and they got Chase Claypool, Juju Smith-Schuster, they had James Conner back, they got Benny Snell, who's no slouch himself. Yes, they didn't have Vance McDonald, but they still got those playmakers out there to limit them to what was it, like under 300 yards completely.
Yeah. Well, I think what the Steelers didn't do is they didn't make enough adjustments. They didn't make enough big plays, and that's credit to our D and our D coaching staff. You know, we brought pressure all game that made me really nervous, but it worked. I mean, Big Ben was pressured and our secondary didn't give him much space to throw into. I mean, major credit to their D-line and our tackling. I was really only angry at one missed tackle all game. You know, when Steelers got the ball in space, I was yelling like, converge, converge. And they got there and they made the first tackle. And that's so important to beating the Steelers because they stayed stuck in their ways. They didn't make any adjustments based off of what we were doing. You know, their short passing game wasn't working and they kept trying to force that, you know, they didn't try to let Ben hold it for a little bit longer and try and aim downfield. He took one deep shot, but that was the Levi Wallace interception. You know, it was a late read by Ben and he underthrew it and Levi followed the ball the whole way, and that's why he wasn't called for defensive pass interference because his head was turned around. He had eyes on the ball the whole way, and in those instances, it's a 50-50 jump ball. They can hand fight, and Wallace won that. So kudos to him there. It's just you would expect the Steelers, an 11-1 team with a really good head coach, to be able to say, hey, this isn't working. Let's try something different. They tried to run the ball more than they did for the last few weeks, but that didn't work. We completely took away their short passing game and they didn't have an answer for it. So I think that with Washington last week and with us this week, we really put on tape the recipe to beating the Steelers. Now they're going to have to do something radically different to break out of this, you know, funk that they're in. And, you know, it's just great to talk about us being the team that's been able to do that.
You know, I think there's a
bit that the Bills did yesterday that you could talk about. I mean, Knox had a tough game, the interior O-line, like I said. But, you know, knowing what the limitations of these players are, you know, Brooke Winters we know is meh. But even with, you know, the things that we like to complain about, we just convincingly beat an 11-1 football team.
No, exactly. And it bodes well for the next game on Saturday when we play the Broncos, and that one will wrap up the playoff berth should we actually win that game. And also, okay, the Steelers have to face Cincinnati next week, but it will still put our our win can still put them under pressure with their last two games for us to potentially clean that number two seat.
I mean, you know what? I'm trying to be humble here. I'm just happy we're going to have one playoff home game.
Yeah.
And let's just hope we could sort out how to get fans in there. I know Erie County right now is not having a good time with COVID. So, Buffalo, you have 4 weeks to clean it up. Please do so. Exactly. So we can have fans at this home playoff game.
Don't go out unless it's for essentials. Wear a mask, social distance, so you can get the bill, so you can go back to the Ralph and actually support us in the playoffs. That's your job.
Come on, guys. You wanna go to the home playoff game? Be COVID conscious. Just for 4 weeks. Exactly. Do whatever you want after that. Let's just get this home playoff game with some fans in the crowd.
Exactly. Exactly. So am I okay to sign off?
Yeah, man. I mean, this was a game where it was absolutely worth staying up until 4:30 a.m., you know? And I didn't go to bed till 5 because I just enjoyed the next 30 minutes just talking with Bills Mafia on Twitter, enjoying that W. It was fantastic.
That's good. So that's it for this time. So next, we hope to do the review show or preview show of the Broncos game next couple of days. Obviously, keep following us on social media at UK_Bills on Twitter, at RWBB_podcast on Twitter, Buffalo Bills UK on Facebook and Instagram, and source left from say from Alex and Matt. It is good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Thank you for listening and subscribing, and go Bills.
Go Bills.
Not us.
Not us.
You don't know anything about heart. You don't know anything about work.
No. Huh? That's who we are.
Bills on three. 1, 2, 3.